Today we're going to begin the unit of study that we should have started last Sunday. We will be starting on the second lesson. It's lesson number 9, if you're following along in the book. Lesson number 9 for November the 1st, 2020. And so the title of the lesson this morning is The Kingdom Advances.
El título de nuestra lección es El Reino Avanza.
And the unit of study that we've started is entitled The Story of the New Testament.
Y el título de nuestra nueva unidad es La Historia del Nuevo Testamento.
And so, again, we're in lesson number 9, The Kingdom Advances.
El Reino Avanza.
And so let's open in with a word of prayer and then we will begin. Lord, we ask that you would bless our Sunday school lesson this morning. We are grateful for, Lord, the fact that you have made there to be a way for us to be saved. We thank you that the whole story of the Bible, Lord, the Old Testament and the New, is speaking concerning your love for humanity and your desire to redeem and to save. And so we pray that you would bless our study, give us understanding as to the advancement of your kingdom. And we pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. The amen. Kingdom advances.
El reino avanza.
Now, really quick, well, let's just go through the central truth this morning. The central truth is the church grows through the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Nuestra verdad central es la iglesia crece mediante el poder y la dirección del Espíritu Santo.
Thank God the church doesn't just stay where it is. It's constantly growing. It's constantly adapting to the world around it.
Gracias a Dios que la iglesia está creciendo y no adapta al mundo alrededor, pero está creciendo.
But the growth is accomplished through the working of the Holy Spirit within the church.
Y el crecimiento es por medio del poder del Espíritu Santo en la iglesia.
How many of you are grateful for the Holy Spirit?
¿Cuántos están agradecidos por el Espíritu Santo?
I thank God for the Holy Spirit.
Yo doy gracias a Dios por el Espíritu Santo.
Our key verse this morning is found in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 31.
Nuestro versículo clave se encuentra en Hechos 9:31.
And it states, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied."
Entonces las iglesias tenían paz por toda Judea, Galilea y Samaria y eran edificados andando en el temor del Señor y se acreditaban fortalecidas por el Espíritu Santo.
Our lesson this morning is going to be considering the expansion of the church.
Nuestra lección de hoy va a considerar el crecimiento de la iglesia.
Now, as a quick overview, last Sunday we would have studied the fact that the Messiah had come.
Rápidamente, la lección del domingo pasado íbamos a estudiar la venida del Mesías.
And the whole lesson was talking about how God sent His Son to save us from our sin.
Y la lección hablaba de cómo Dios mandó a su Hijo para perdonar nuestros pecados.
The Old Testament had spoken concerning the salvation of man. It was pointing to Christ.
El Antiguo Testamento nos apuntaba a la salvación de Cristo.
And so we would have studied Jesus' birth and childhood.
Estudiábamos el nacimiento y infancia de Jesús.
How through Jesus Christ that God prepared the way and Jesus grew up in a righteous family.
Como Dios preparó el camino y como Jesús creció en una justa familia.
He prepared the way through the preaching of John the Baptist.
Él preparó el camino por medio de la predicación de Juan el Bautista.
And of course, we had the story of Christmas when Jesus was born in a manger.
Y tenemos la historia de Christmas cuando Jesús nació.
And then we had Jesus' early ministry with him being baptized and anointed for ministry.
y el ministerio de Jesús cuando él fue bautizado y ungido para el ministerio.
And how he had authority to heal and to forgive.
Y como Jesucristo tenía la autoridad para sanar y perdonar.
And then, of course, Jesus died and rose again from the dead.
Y como Jesús murió y resucitó de la muerte.
He died for sinners, that's you and me.
Jesús murió por pecadores.
And he rose again from the dead, purchasing our salvation forever.
Y resucitó comprando nuestra salvación para siempre.
And with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ,
y con el, con la muerte y resurrección de Jesucristo,
Jesus, before he left the earth,
Jesucristo, antes de irse de la tierra,
he told his disciples to remain in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high.
Jesús le mandó a sus discípulos que esperaban allí en Jerusalén hasta que el poder del Espíritu Santo venía de lo alto.
And so the kingdom of God would advance through the power and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church.
La iglesia crecería mediante el poder y la dirección del Espíritu Santo.
A quick question.
Una pregunta.
What tasks have you ever found to be much too big for you to tackle alone and you found yourself needing to call someone to help you? Have you ever had a task like that?
¿Qué tareas han sido demasiado grandes para abordarlas solo y tuvo la necesidad de llamar a alguien para que lo ayudara?
Does anybody want to share anything like that?
¿Alguien quiere compartir?
It's a big task and all of a sudden you realize this is too big just for me.
Un gran tarea realizó es muy grande para hacerlo solo.
There you go. Yeah, that's definitely one. You need to ask for some help, right?
Mm-hmm.
A big task, and all of a sudden you need to ask for some help to get it done.
Moviendo el furniture de la casa es algo muy grande para hacerlo solo.
They both said the same thing. Hauling wood, bringing wood in and stacking it in the house. Uh-huh. You need help.
Trabajando y levantando y trayendo la leña en la casa es un gran trabajo.
You know, sometimes you feel like, you know, like you have to do a kind of a little bit of a remodel situation in a house. You ever been there? And then all of a sudden you start to break something down or tear something apart and you realize, whoa, that one small job turns into a big job, right?
Yeah, a veces pensamos que vamos a hacer una tarea, pero se hace más grande, un proyecto más grande que esperábamos.
Before Jesus ascended into heaven,
antes que Jesús ascendió al cielo,
he told them to go and preach the gospel to the whole earth.
Jesús le dijo que predicaban el evangelio a todo el mundo.
That was a large task.
Era una tarea muy grande.
It was too big just for 12 apostles.
Una tarea muy grande por solamente 12 apóstoles.
But God knows that, doesn't he?
Pero Dios lo sabía muy bien, ¿no?
He knew it couldn't be done just in their own strength.
Dios sabía que no podían hacerlo en sus mismas fuerzas.
And so he promised to give them power from on high.
Y él los prometió dar poder de lo alto.
And he was going to give them, or he gave them the Holy Spirit to accomplish what they couldn't accomplish in themselves.
Y Dios les dio el Espíritu Santo para hacer lo que no podían en sus mismas fuerzas.
And this is how the kingdom of God would advance in the early church.
Y por medio de esto iba a avanzar la iglesia.
Now, part one in our lesson this morning.
Parte uno de nuestra lección.
Is believers are empowered to witness.
Los creyentes reciben poder para testificar.
The Spirit is promised and received.
El Espíritu es prometido y recibido.
Turn to Acts chapter 1.
Vaya conmigo a Hechos capítulo 1.
And we're going to read two sections here.
Vamos a leer dos porciones de las Escrituras.
Does somebody want to read verses 4 through 8 of Acts chapter 1 to begin with?
Versículos 4 a 8 para empezar.
These verses.
Estos versos.
explain what Jesus told that infant church to do.
Explican lo que Jesús les dijo a esa iglesia nueva que hiciera.
Before he left them, he told them to stay in Jerusalem and not to leave, but to wait for the promise of the Father.
Él les dijo que se quedaran ahí y esperaban la promesa del Padre.
This was a command.
Era un mandamiento.
He told them, you stay here until you receive the promise from the Father.
Él les dijo, quédense aquí y esperan hasta que reciban la promesa.
And he told them, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Porque Juan ciertamente bautizó con agua, pero vosotros seréis bautizados con el Espíritu Santo dentro de no muchos días.
This was all in God's plan.
Esto era en el plan de Dios.
God had planned Jesus Christ to come to the earth at that specific time and for that specific season.
Dios tenía en plan que Jesús viniera a la tierra en ese tiempo específico y en ese lugar específico.
Even the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was about to be accomplished was all a part of God's plan.
Aún el derramamiento del Espíritu Santo era plan de Dios.
He told them to wait because he knew they needed God's strength, God's power to accomplish the task he's giving them to do.
Jesús les dijo que necesitaban esperarse porque él sabía que necesitaban el poder que iban a recibir.
And as we know very well, verse 8 says it clearly, says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Y verso 8 lo dice claramente, pero recibiréis poder cuando hayan venido sobre vosotros el Espíritu Santo.
This power, the power of the Holy Spirit,
este poder del Espíritu Santo,
would enable them to be witnesses.
Iba a ayudarles para ser testigos. Thank you. Testigos.
When it says witnesses here,
en decir la palabra testigos aquí,
in the Greek, it's talking about martyrs.
En el griego, quiere decir alguien que muera para Dios, un martyr.
Those that would lay down their lives for sharing the gospel and being a witness to those around them.
Alguien que daba su vida para ser testigo a los que están alrededor.
He would enable them with this power to be witnesses from Jerusalem to Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Esto lo iba a ayudar a ese grupo para ser testigos en Judea, Samaria y en todo rumbo de la tierra.
In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4,
en Hechos capítulo 2, versos 1 a 4,
we read about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Leemos del derramamiento del Espíritu Santo.
This was God's plan.
Era el plan de Dios.
And it says in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost arrived, this was 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven.
Y nos dice en versos 1 a 4, 10 días después que Jesús ascendió al cielo,
they were gathered together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is Pentecost.
Esto es Pentecostés.
This was the first moving Pentecostal move in the early church.
Era el primer movimiento pentecostal de la iglesia.
The Holy Spirit hadn't moved in this way prior to this time.
Antes de esto, el Espíritu Santo no se había movido de esta manera.
The Holy Spirit was in the earth. I mean, he's everywhere.
El Espíritu Santo estaba en la tierra porque está en todo lugar.
But now he has come to empower the body of Christ.
Pero ahora vino para dar poder a la iglesia de Dios.
He came to indwell Christians.
Para habitar en los cristianos.
And he came to empower them to be witnesses.
Para darles poder para ser testigos.
All of this happened according to God's divine plan.
Y todo esto pasó en el plan de Dios.
The day of Pentecost was the day that they celebrated the giving of the law.
El día de Pentecostés era el día que celebraban el día que recibieron los mandamientos.
When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments,
cuando Moisés descendió del monte Sinaí con los 10 mandamientos,
ultimately that was the beginning of the Old Covenant.
Últimamente era el principio del antiguo pacto.
The Old Covenant is known as the Covenant of Law.
El antiguo pacto se conoce como el pacto de la ley.
On this same day,
en este mismo día,
under the new covenant,
debajo del nuevo pacto,
a covenant of grace,
un pacto de gracia,
we will see that 3,000 people were saved.
Vamos a leer que 3,000 fueron salvados.
And so God was moving in a supernatural way here in the early church.
Y Dios estaba moviéndose en una manera poderosa en la iglesia.
And when they were filled with the Holy Spirit,
y cuando fueron llenados con el Espíritu Santo,
they spoke in other tongues.
Hablaron en otras lenguas.
Again, this was new in the new covenant.
Esto era algo nuevo debajo del nuevo pacto.
But here were 120 believers speaking in unknown tongues.
Y aquí 120 creyentes estaban hablando en nuevas lenguas.
Now when we speak about unknown tongues, it was unknown to the speaker.
En decir que hablaban en otras lenguas, eran lenguas que ellos no conocían.
But it was known somewhere on the earth.
Pero eran lenguas que hablaban en la tierra. Yeah, alrededor.
And so the Spirit is promised and received.
El Espíritu Santo fue prometido y recibido.
Now it's important to reemphasize that Jesus told them, don't go and try to do this thing by yourself.
Es importante hacer énfasis que Jesús les dijo que no debían de tratar de hacerlo ellos mismos.
He said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father.
Les dijo claramente, esperan en Jerusalén hasta que reciban la promesa del Padre.
And it would be after they receive the Holy Spirit
that, y después de recibir el Espíritu Santo,
that they would move out in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Iban a salir en el poder del Espíritu Santo.
And so the believers are emboldened.
Los creyentes son investidos de poder.
Look at chapter 2, verse 36 through 41.
Hechos 2, 36 a 41.
Somebody want to read those verses? This is an amazing account as the day of Pentecost is fresh.
Esto es una historia increíble y el día de Pentecostés había pasado recientemente.
120 believers have been speaking in other tongues and I'm sure the people around are amazed at what's happening.
120 creyentes fueron bautizados en el Espíritu Santo y los alrededor estaban en sorpresa.
And so they began to ask, what's going on here?
Y preguntaron, ¿qué está pasando aquí?
And then Peter stands up in the boldness of the Holy Spirit.
Y Pedro se levantó en poder del Espíritu Santo.
And he preaches the first Pentecostal sermon.
Y predicó el primer mensaje pentecostal.
Now what's amazing is that prior to this, all of this time before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit,
antes de este derramamiento del Espíritu Santo,
the disciples had been hiding in fear for their lives.
Los discípulos estaban escondidos en temor.
They were afraid.
Tenían mucho temor por sus vidas.
They were hiding behind closed doors.
Estaban escondidos.
But when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit,
pero cuando el Espíritu Santo se vino sobre ellos, ellos estaban llenos del Espíritu Santo.
He empowered the disciples to be witnesses immediately.
Y les dio poder para ser testigos inmediatamente.
Peter boldly declared the gospel to those around them.
Pedro declaró el evangelio con poder.
And he began to show them this is that. This is what Joel the prophet prophesied about.
Y les enseñó, esto es lo que Joel el profeta dijo.
And he boldly told them that Jesus is Lord and Messiah.
Y les dijo, Jesús es Señor y el Mesías.
And this bold declaration of Peter caused the hearers to be convicted of their sins.
Y este mensaje de poder trajo convicción a los que escuchaban su mensaje.
But it wasn't only just the bold declaration.
Y no era solamente el declaración en poder.
You see, it's not how loud we proclaim the word.
No es cuanto cual recio decimos las palabras.
No, but it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon that bold declaration.
Era el unción sobre ellos y su declaración.
And the Holy Spirit moving so powerfully in their midst that they were convicted of their sin.
Y el poder moviendo en una manera tan poderosa que sentían convicción por sus pecados.
You see, it's not degrees that give us authority.
No es nuestra educación que nos da la autoridad.
The anointing of the Holy Spirit comes as we are shut in with God and have received that power to proclaim the word of God under the unction of the Holy Spirit.
El poder y la unción viene cuando nos cerramos y buscamos a Dios.
Peter and the disciples were shut in with God.
Pedro y los demás discípulos estaban cerrados con Dios, encerrados.
And now that they were empowered with the Holy Spirit, their words were very effective.
Y sus palabras eran muy efectivas, tenían mucho efecto porque tenían el poder del Espíritu Santo.
We need that kind of touch of God today.
Nosotros necesitamos este tipo de toca sobre nuestras vidas hoy.
We're living in perilous times.
Estamos viviendo en tiempos muy peligrosos.
Our answer is not government.
Nuestra respuesta no está en el gobierno.
The church needs to wake up and draw near to the heart of God.
La iglesia necesita despertar y acercarse a Dios.
And the church needs to come back to a simple place of calling out to God for the power of the Holy Spirit.
Y la iglesia necesita regresar en una manera simple que va a clamar que necesitamos el poder del Espíritu Santo.
When there is Spirit-empowered preaching, many come to Christ.
Cuando hay predicaciones tocadas del Espíritu Santo, muchos vienen a Jesucristo.
3,000 people were saved that day.
Ese día, 3,000 fueron salvados.
Look at chapter 4, verses 9 through 13.
Vaya conmigo a Hechos 4, versículos 9 a 13.
Look at the boldness of the disciples.
Y miren conmigo el poder del Espíritu Santo en los discípulos.
It says, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
These are powerful verses.
Estos versículos son muy poderosos.
These disciples were uneducated men.
Estos discípulos no tenían educación.
That should give us hope, amen?
Esto nos va a traer esperanza.
That it's not how much degrees we have behind our name that makes us effective in the ministry.
Nuestra educación y nuestros títulos no van a declarar el efecto que podemos tener en nuestro ministerio.
No, it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit.
Es el poder del Espíritu Santo.
And they boldly proclaimed the fact that it's Jesus Christ that heals the sick and raises the dead.
Y proclamaban con poder que era Jesucristo que sana y levanta los muertos.
It's the power of God that will point out even the sin in man.
Y es el poder de Dios que apunta nuestro pecado en el hombre.
He says, Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you.
What verse is that?
That was verse 11.
Verso 11 dice que Jesús es la piedra rechazada por vosotros.
They point the finger at them and says, it's you that killed Jesus.
Él puntó el dedo declarando que eran ellos que crucificaron a Jesucristo.
They boldly proclaim that there is salvation in no one else but Jesus Christ alone.
Y con poder proclamaban que solamente en Jesucristo hay salvación.
But I love verse 13.
Y me encanta el versículo 13.
Because they recognize the boldness of these men.
Porque reconocían el poder en estos hombres.
They recognized they were uneducated.
Reconocieron que ellos no tenían mucho educación.
But it was that last sentence that makes the difference.
Pero el último, los últimos palabras aquí hacen la diferencia.
And it says they recognized that they had been with Jesus.
Reconocían que habían estado con Jesús.
People need to recognize that we have been with Jesus. Amen.
La gente necesita reconocer que nosotros hemos estado con Jesús.
You see, it really boils down to a simple walk with God.
Es muy simple. Tenemos que tener un andar con Dios.
Drawing near to God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Being intimate with Him.
Acercándonos a Dios con todo nuestro corazón, mente y alma, y siendo íntimo con Él.
Learning the heart of God.
Reconociendo su corazón.
Spending time in His presence.
Tomando tiempo en su presencia.
And that'll cause us to want to share the one we're in love with.
Y esto nos va a hacer que queremos compartir de Él porque estamos enamorados con Él.
You know, that's a simple thing, isn't it?
Es muy simple, ¿no?
When you're in love with something, you talk about it all the time.
Cuando estamos enamorados con algo, hablamos siempre de esa cosa o persona.
We're, you know, if you're spending a lot of time watching videos or reading articles on politics.
Si estamos tomando tiempo leyendo o mirando videos de los de cosas políticos.
What are we talking about?
¿De qué estamos hablando?
Well, we're definitely talking about politics, aren't we?
De cosas políticos, ¿no?
You know, someone that gets into cars and they're searching about cars and vehicles.
Alguien que le gusta mucho los carros.
Before I know it, they're talking about cars.
Antes de de saber, están hablando muchos de eso.
Doesn't this, the scripture says it simply. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
La escritura nos dice que de la abundancia del corazón habla la boca.
They recognized they had been with Jesus.
Y ellos reconocían que habían estado con Jesús.
Why? They were talking all about it, weren't they?
Porque estaban hablando de Jesucristo, ¿no?
They also recognized him too.
Y los reconocían también.
But they were in touch with God.
Estaban conectados con Dios.
And thank God they were ready to share who they were in love with.
Y gracias a Dios que estaban listos para compartir de el quien estaban enamorados con.
Now, as the church began to advance,
y cuando la iglesia avanzó,
the enemy doesn't sit idly by and let the church go forward. It wants to stop it.
El enemigo no estaba sentado ahí de lado. Él quería parar lo que estaba pasando.
And so part two is persecuted and growing.
Parte dos, perseguidos y en crecimiento.
And so the church, the first part is the church is scattered to grow.
La iglesia se dispersa para crecer.
Turn to Acts chapter 7, verse 54.
Hechos 7, 54.
And well, we're not going to read it just because it's a long section.
No lo vamos a leer porque es una gran porción de escritura.
But it's Acts chapter 7, verse 54 through chapter 8 and verse 8.
Es capítulo 7, verso 54 a Hechos 8, 8.
And let me just kind of give a paraphrase of what happened.
Voy a compartir lo que pasó en estos versículos.
In the latter part of chapter 7, we see the stoning of Stephen.
En el último parte de capítulo 7, leemos de Esteban cuando le mataron con tirando piedras.
And what happens here is we begin to see the persecution against the church beginning.
Y empezamos a leer de la iglesia siendo perseguidos.
Stephen was one of the first elders that they appointed in the church.
Esteban era uno de los primeros líderes que pusieron en la iglesia.
But this guy knew God.
Y Esteban conocía a Dios.
And so he proclaimed the gospel to these church leaders.
Y Esteban proclamó el evangelio a estos líderes.
And you can see in verse 54, it says, "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him." They ground their teeth, and it says, "But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." And so after he told them the truth, he gave them a whole Old Testament history leading up to Christ and said, "You are the reason why Jesus died on the cross." And he pointed the finger at them in boldness of the Holy Spirit. You can see that in verse 51.
En verso 51 podemos leer como Esteban les habló la historia del Antiguo Testamento.
And he called them, "You stiff-necked people."
En verso 51 les llamó duros de cerviz.
And so he told them, "You are so hard-hearted."
Y les dijo que estaban muy duro en su corazón.
And ultimately they rejected the Messiah.
Y les dijo que ellos habían rechazado al Mesías.
And they were so mad at him it caused them to stone Stephen to death.
Y ellos se enojaron tanto con él que le querían matar.
Some of them had coats or other garments that were heavy, so they took them off.
Algunos de ellos quitaron su vestidura.
Those things that would have hindered them of throwing these stones at Stephen.
Porque querían tirar las piedras a Esteban.
And the scripture says in verse 58, they laid those garments down at the feet of Saul.
Y en verso 58 nos dice que ponieron sus ropas a los pies de un joven llamado Saulo.
And here we have, at the martyrdom of Stephen, we see the introduction of Saul, who would later become Paul in the Greek.
Y aquí en el martirio de Esteban leemos la introducción de Saulo, que después se convirtió su nombre a Pablo.
And it would be Saul who would begin to become a chief persecutor of the church.
Y Saulo era uno de los más grandes que traía que perseguía a la iglesia.
Sometimes those that are religious can be the worst kind of people on the earth.
A veces la gente que es muy religioso son las personas más malos en la tierra.
Saul really believed he was doing God's service.
Saulo creía que estaba haciendo el servicio de Dios.
And so persecution began to affect the church.
Y la iglesia fue muy perseguido.
But it would be persecution that would begin to scatter the church.
Y la iglesia se iba dispensar por medio de ser perseguidos.
So on the one hand, it's horrible.
En una manera era algo muy horrible.
But on the other hand, it caused the church to spread out.
Pero en otra manera, causó que la iglesia podía dispersarse para compartir el evangelio.
In the early part of the church, they were just hanging around Jerusalem.
De primero estaban siempre alrededor de Jerusalén.
But Jesus said, "Go out from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth."
Pero Jesús les dijo que debían de compartir en Judea, Samaria, en toda la tierra.
And persecution caused them to be spread out.
Y esta persecución causó que iban a salir de ese lugar.
And you can see that in verses 6 through 8, where Philip began to preach the gospel in Samaria.
Y podemos leer de eso en versos 6 a 8, cuando Felipe empezó a predicar el evangelio.
And a powerful move of God began to move in Samaria, with many getting saved, delivered, and God was moving in a powerful way.
Y Dios se movió en una manera poderosa en Samaria, y muchos fueron salvados.
And so let's watch a video really quick.
Vamos a mirar este video.
And it's about four, I don't forget how many minutes long, but we're going to watch it in English and Spanish. So it's talking about persecution.
The tremendous suffering being endured by Christians throughout the world is hardly ever reported in the secular media. Almost every hour, somewhere in the world, a Christian is killed for following Jesus Christ. From his prison cell in Rome, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner." Then he said something amazing, "Join with me in suffering for the gospel, according to the power of God." When Paul asked Timothy to join him in suffering, he obviously didn't mean for Timothy to join him in his prison cell. He was speaking spiritually, encouraging Timothy to have the same submission to God and even joy in suffering for Christ as Paul had. Many believe that suffering should never happen if the power of God is in our lives. But when the Lord Jesus appeared to Ananias, he said about Paul, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." Because we all have different abilities and needs, God gives different kinds of power to different people to deal with different circumstances. Just as different kinds of power are needed in witnessing, different kinds of power are needed in suffering. First, power is needed in suffering for deliverance. In his letter to Timothy from prison, Paul spoke of his persecutions and sufferings at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But he testified, "Out of them all, the Lord delivered me." Notice, Paul testified that the Lord delivered him out of his sufferings, not from his sufferings. The Apostle Peter had a similar testimony in Acts. He was delivered from jail by an angel. Even in our day, we see many Book of Acts testimonies of believers who are supernaturally delivered out of their sufferings. Just recently in East Africa, an Assemblies of God pastor had suffered in prison for years, and the church committed itself to an extended season of fasting and prayer for him, and in just a few weeks, he was released miraculously with no reason given by the authorities. Second, power is needed in suffering for endurance. Until deliverance comes, or even if it never comes in this life, hardship and suffering can be endured in the power of God. And through that endurance, God's purposes can be accomplished. In God's power, there is victory, even in suffering. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "My circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." Most of our brothers and sisters around the world do not ask us to pray for their deliverance. Some even say, "Don't pray for our release from persecution. Pray that God will give us strength and an open door to witness for Christ." They want to accomplish God's purpose in their lives, not escape their problems. Like the believers in the early church, they rejoice that they are worthy to suffer for Jesus' name. The more the Church of Jesus Christ is persecuted, the more it thrives and multiplies. In the last 20 years, I've had the privilege of preaching the gospel in more than 90 countries, and everywhere I've gone, I've witnessed followers of Jesus being victorious in suffering. Many thousands of believers are glorifying Christ's name by suffering for him throughout the world. An Assemblies of God pastor I know personally in a restricted access country served 3 prison terms for preaching the gospel. In each of those imprisonments, he led other prisoners to Jesus. During his 3rd imprisonment, he led 42 prisoners and 2 prison guards to Christ. When one of those 42 prisoners was released from prison, he returned to his hometown and in just his first month led more than 700 people to Christ. The Apostle Peter wrote, "If you're reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. If anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in his name." I challenge you, in your daily prayer time, please take time to pray for the many thousands of our fellow believers throughout the world who are suffering every day to glorify the name of Jesus Christ.
Grace to endure. Amen? Amen. So the church was persecuted, and God enabled them to continue no matter what.
La iglesia estaba debajo, fueron perseguidos, pero Dios les ayudó a continuar.
Okay. Now, sometimes we can look at persecution as it's a bad thing. Now, it can be to our flesh.
A veces podemos pensar que en ser perseguidos es algo mal, y si es a nuestra carne.
But it's always been useful in unifying the church.
Pero siempre ha sido un instrumento para la iglesia.
There is more of an enemy in prosperity against the church.
Hay más, encontramos más un enemigo en la prosperidad de la iglesia.
Than there is in persecution of the church.
En vez de cuando la iglesia es perseguido.
And you see that throughout church history.
Y podemos estudiar esto en la historia de la iglesia.
During times of prosperity, the church begins to grow apathetic. They grow unconcerned about the things of God.
Durante el tiempo de la prosperidad, la iglesia ya no le importa las cosas de Dios en la misma manera.
However, when the church has been persecuted, it's unified and it's also purified the church.
Pero cuando la iglesia está siendo perseguidos, en ese tiempo se unen y se purifican.
Now, let's move forward. God includes the Gentiles in the church.
Dios incluye a los gentiles en la iglesia.
So, they've been empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Fueron, el Espíritu Santo se derramó.
The church is growing almost daily.
La iglesia está creciendo diariamente.
Persecution has caused them to spread out. Now they're proclaiming the gospel beyond Jerusalem.
Y ahora están proclamando el evangelio en lugares más lejos de Jerusalén.
And now God continues his plan in bringing in the Gentiles to the church.
Y Dios continúa su plan en incluyendo a los gentiles en la iglesia.
In Acts chapter 10, we see the inclusion of the Gentiles into the church.
En Hechos 10, leemos de cómo Dios incluyó a los gentiles.
Without reading through every verse, I'm just going to kind of highlight what is happening here.
Voy a describir lo que está pasando en estos versículos.
God wants to make redemption available to everyone.
Dios quiere hacer la redención para todos.
Not just the Jews.
No solamente los judíos.
It's for both Jew and Gentile.
Es para los judíos y los gentiles.
And so we see as the church begins to move, God now is going to include the Gentiles.
Y vamos a leer que ahora Dios va a incluir a los gentiles.
In Acts chapter 10, we see where Peter has a vision.
En capítulo 10, leemos de la visión de Pedro.
Peter was hungry.
Pedro tenía hambre.
Even men of God get hungry.
Aún los hombres de Dios les da hambre.
He wasn't planning on fasting and praying, he was hungry.
Él no estaba en su plan de ayunar.
And so while they were getting the food ready in the house,
mientras que preparaban la comida en la casa,
he went to the rooftop to pray.
Él fue arriba de la casa para orar.
And with his stomach growling,
y sentía ese hambre en su estómago,
he sees a vision.
Él vio una visión.
And he sees this sheet lowered down with these unclean animals in it, and it coming down to him.
Y en su visión miraba animales limpios y animales que no estaban limpios arriba y abajo, bajándose.
And there came a voice in verse 13 that said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat."
Y en verso 13 vino la voz que dijo, levántate, Pedro, y come.
And Peter says, I've never done this. I've never eaten anything unclean.
Y Pedro respondió, yo nunca he comido algo que no está limpio.
And then that voice from God said, what God has made clean, do not call common.
Y vino la voz y dijo, lo que Dios limpió, no llamas tú común.
And so this sheep goes back up into heaven.
Y regresó al cielo.
And then it came back down.
Y vino otra vez.
Same thing happened. Rise, Peter, kill and eat.
La misma cosa pasó. Levántate, Pedro, come.
No, I don't eat unclean food.
Y otra vez respondió, yo no como cosas que no están limpios.
And that voice, what God has made clean, do not call common or unclean.
Y vino la voz de Dios otra vez. Lo que Dios llama limpio, no llamas tú común.
And this happened three times.
Y esto pasó tres veces.
And what's amazing is God was making a crucial point for Peter to understand.
Y Dios estaba haciendo un punto muy claro aquí para que Pedro entendía.
He didn't understand what was going on himself yet.
Pedro no entendía completamente lo que estaba pasando.
But there was a man named Cornelius.
Pero había un hombre, Cornelio.
A Gentile. He was Italian.
Era un italiano, un gentil.
And he was a God-fearing man.
Y él tenía temor de Dios.
And he was there fasting and praying.
Y él estaba ayunando y orando.
And an angel appears to him.
Y un ángel se apareció a él.
And tells him to go and send for a man named Peter.
Y le dijo, manda por un hombre que se llama Pedro.
And Peter comes out of that vision.
Y Pedro salió de esa visión.
And also there's these people outside the house.
Y este grupo de gente estaba fuera de la casa.
And they're asking for Peter.
Y estaban buscando a Pedro.
And they tell him everything that just happened with Cornelius.
Y les dijeron todo lo que pasó con Cornelio.
This is powerful, isn't it?
Es algo muy poderoso, ¿no?
Peter sees these people. He welcomes them into the house.
Pedro les dio la bienvenida a la casa a este grupo de gente.
He invites them to eat some food because he's still hungry.
Les invitó a comer porque él tenía hambre también.
And then the next day they go to Cornelius's house.
Y el día siguiente fueron a la casa de Cornelio.
God was through that vision showing Peter that he was about to include the Gentiles in his plan.
Por medio de esa visión, Dios le estaba hablando a Pedro que él iba a incluir a los gentiles.
And he began to understand the statement, what God has made clean, do not call common or unclean.
Y Pedro iba a entender esa declaración, lo que Dios limpió, no llamas tú común.
And he goes to Cornelius' house.
Pedro fue a la casa de Cornelio.
And Cornelius tells him everything that had happened.
Y Cornelio le dijo todo lo que él le había pasado.
And then in verse 34, Peter says, I understand that God shows no partiality.
Y en verso 34, Pedro entendió que Dios no tenía respeto de persona.
And I can imagine the vision is fresh in his mind and he's beginning to understand that God has now included the Gentiles.
Y me puedo imaginar que la visión estaba fresca en la mente de Pedro y él iba a entender que Dios quería incluir a los gentiles.
Cornelius was told Peter would tell them the words that he needed to hear.
Cornelio, Dios le había dicho a Cornelio que Pedro iba a compartir las palabras que necesitaba oír.
And so Peter preaches the gospel.
Y Pedro predicó el evangelio.
And then while he's still preaching, the Holy Spirit falls on them and they're speaking in other tongues.
Y mientras que él predicaba, el Espíritu Santo descendió sobre ellos y empezaron a hablar en otras lenguas.
This was God moving in the early church.
Esto era Dios moviéndose en la iglesia de primero.
And God is now including the Gentiles and the church would continue to expand and grow.
Dios incluyó a los gentiles y la iglesia iba a crecer más y más, aumentar.
And it would begin to go into all the world, part 3.
Y parte 3, en todo el mundo.
And what we see is Paul begins to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Pablo sigue la dirección del Espíritu Santo.
They were led by the Spirit in the early church.
Ellos fueron guiados por medio del Espíritu Santo.
And the Holy Spirit began to guide them and lead them on these missionary journeys.
Y el Espíritu Santo les mandó en como misioneros para predicar en diferentes áreas.
Look at Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 10.
Vaya conmigo a Hechos 16, versos 9 a 10.
And you'll see that Paul here receives a vision.
Y vamos a leer que Pablo recibió una visión.
It says in verses 9 and 10. Does somebody want to read those verses?
Versos 9 y 10.
Paul in the night receives this vision from the Lord.
En la noche, Pablo recibió esta visión del Señor.
And he sees in this vision this man from Macedonia calling them to that area of the world.
Y en su visión vio un hombre llamándoles a Macedonia.
And when you read even a little bit before this in the book of Acts,
y en leer los versos antes de esto en Hechos,
you'll see how Paul and his entourage were ready to go north into Asia Minor.
Leemos que Pablo y su grupo estaban listos a ir al norte en Asia Menor.
But the scripture says the Holy Spirit didn't allow them to go that way.
Pero leemos que el Espíritu Santo no les dejó ir a ese lugar.
And so they kept going, it would have been, what would that be? West on, in Asia Minor.
En vez de ir a ese lugar, se fueron al oeste.
And then eventually they would end up in the area of Troas as the Holy Spirit continued to lead them that way.
Eventualmente se encontraron en la ciudad de Troas y el Espíritu Santo les dirigió en ese lugar.
And there in that area he receives this vision and he begins to know by the Spirit that God is leading them to Macedonia.
Y por medio del Espíritu Santo recibió esta visión y supo que el Espíritu Santo le estaba guiando a Macedonia.
God was leading these early apostles on as to where to go.
Dios estaba dirigiendo a estos apóstoles a dónde ir.
And God still leads his people today.
Y en este día Dios nos guía.
God can speak to you. God can reveal things to you.
Dios nos puede hablar. Dios nos puede revelar.
And so it was through this Macedonian call that they ended up going into the area of Europe.
Y por medio de ese llamado de Macedonia fueron a Europe.
And it would eventually culminate with them ministering in the city of Corinth.
Y eventualmente tenían ministerio en Corinth.
And he would stay ministering there for about a year and a half.
Y él ministió en Corintio por un año y medio.
And then we see the message continues to move forward.
El mensaje avanza.
As Paul and the apostles continue ministering all around Asia Minor, now into Europe.
En cuanto Pablo ministró en Asia Menor y ahora en Europa.
We can see that God is concerned with the lost.
Dios, a él le pertenecía los que estaban perdidos.
And so God was leading them to these areas of the world as the church was expanding.
Y Dios estaba guiándolos a otras áreas mientras que la iglesia crecía.
And as we see in Acts chapter 19 and as well as 28.
En Hechos 19 y 28.
The baptism in the Holy Spirit was important in accomplishing this task.
El bautismo del Espíritu Santo era muy importante para cumplir esta tarea.
Eventually, Paul would end up in Rome.
Eventualmente, Pablo se fue a Roma.
And in many ways, that area would be considered the ends of the earth of that day.
Y en muchas maneras, ese área se conocía como lo último de la tierra en ese día.
And you read in the closing verses of the book of Acts.
Y leemos en los últimos versículos de Hechos.
Paul is in a rented house and even there under house arrest is still proclaiming the gospel even in Rome.
Pablo estaba en casa alquilada pero continuaba proclamando el evangelio.
And I love how the book of Acts ends.
Y me encanta cómo termina este libro.
Because it really ends without ending.
Porque termina sin terminar.
Look at verse 28 through 31.
Miren conmigo versos 28 a 31.
Of chapter 28.
De capítulo 28.
It says, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Does it say amen at the end?
Dice aquí amén.
Does it say this is the end of the book of Acts?
Dice aquí, esto es el final de este libro.
No, the book of Acts is still being written by you and me today.
No, porque el libro de los hechos continúa con usted y mí hoy.
It was meant to be left opened.
Era con propósito que no terminó.
The Holy Spirit is still moving through His church.
El Espíritu Santo sigue moviéndose en la iglesia.
And that's you and me. We are the church of the living God.
Usted y yo somos la iglesia del Dios viviente.
And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and be led by the Spirit today.
Necesitamos ser llenos del Espíritu Santo y guiados por el Espíritu Santo hoy.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at the ministry in action really quick.
Vamos a ver el ministerio en acción.
First, let's pray for God to give us direction on how we can help lead others into His kingdom.
Ore que Dios le dé instrucción sobre cómo poder ayudar a guiar a otros a su reino.
As we pray to Him, He will give us that wisdom and guidance. Amen.
Y mientras que oramos, Él nos va a dar esa guianza.
Secondly, let's be alert to look for divine appointments. Those times when God puts someone in our path to for us to minister.
Segundamente, esté alerto para buscar encuentros divinos, esos momentos en que Dios pone a alguien en su camino a quien puede ministrar.
Lord, lead me to someone to share the gospel with.
Señor, diréctame para compartir el evangelio.
And He'll give us those divine appointments. Amen.
Y Él nos va a dar esos encuentros divinos.
And then lastly,
últimamente,
ask your pastor on what you can do to contribute to the growth of your church.
Pregunte a su pastor qué puede hacer para contribuir al crecimiento de su iglesia.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God that we are the church.
Gracias a Dios, somos la iglesia.
The church is not a building.
La iglesia no es un edificio.
It's you and me.
Es usted y yo.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not just this church, it's even other churches here in Center.
Y no es solamente nuestra iglesia, otras iglesias aquí en Centro.
Even throughout the valley and the world. Amen.
Y en el valle y en todo el mundo.
But thank God the kingdom is advancing.
Y gracias a Dios que el reino avanza.
Let's pray.
Vamos a orar.
Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for what we've been studying in looking at the story of the New Testament. That from the birth of Christ to His ascension and to the beginning of the early church, Lord, You are advancing, Lord, the gospel. Your desire is to save the lost, to bring them into a relationship with Yourself, to walk with You and talk with You. I pray, Lord, that You would give us a fresh burden for the lost. And we thank You for all that You're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.